Wanted in tonight's shiur, titled Dovah Harif, to address an issue which is a very vexing issue, and we don't often pray understand its implications fully, and therefore we're not as mindful of it as we should be. Now, in generally speaking, when we deal with Shailas of Isa v'Heter, particularly a Bosa v'Cholof, so, you know, the rabbi has a few tricks up his sleeve. You know, every Shaila that comes to you, so you start to develop the necessary information. You want to know, was the, you mixed up, you used the milachika, a spoon and the fleishig, a pot, whatever. So question number one, was it clean? Was it dirty? Was it hot? Was it cold? Was it used in the last 24 hours? It wasn't used in the last 24 hours. Then if we fail to find a good answer with those questions, so then we turn to the issue of bittul v'shishim. Maybe it's a small amount and it's bottled. So, what are our basic tricks? Our basic tricks are number one, perhaps it wasn't yatzah ledes. Right? Yatzah ledes, it's hard to define. The shiurim that would tell us it's from 100 degrees all the way up to 160 degrees. Ravisha Feinstein held it somewhere in between 120 and 160. Somewhere. I mean, you see the difficulty with defining the term, because Nehemar talks about Yatzah Ledes, and then Nehemar asked a very strange question. Nehemar says, my Yatzah Ledes, or on Shabbos. Nora says it's hot enough shakreso shal tinoch nichvispo, that if you'd put something that hot on the stomach of a baby, it would burn. You'd be burned, scalded. So we just defined yatzah ledes, so why not tell me about kreso shal tinoch? What is the question, my yatzah ledes? The answer is, it really depends on your sensitivity, and a lot of it depends on your profession. People that are used to working around hot things lose some of the sensitivity to hot. Where they work with an autoclave, don't feel it as much as a person that doesn't work with it every day. So it's hard to define yatzah ledes because every person is different. So the Gemara looked for something, a more universal measure. So that's always the first question. Is something yatzah ledes and not yatzah ledes? So it's not yatzah ledes. It was cold, Baruch Hashem. That's already a major means of resolving many problems. You know, I took a spoon, even if the spoon had been used for hot milachiks today, and now I washed it clean, and I put it into the chicken soup, I put it into a sauce with roast beef, but it was cold. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm saved. If it was hot, so then I ask, well, when was it last used for milachiks? Within the last 24 hours or before that. So if it's before that, and it's not Pesach, again I'm saved. Because we have a principle of Nois and Tam Levgam, that after 24 hours of being absorbed into a utensil, it loses its good flavor. And the flavor from this point on either doesn't add or is even negative, however you want to learn Nois and Tam Levgam, but it's certainly not beneficial. Right, because Pesach is the exception. There we have a machlokes and Tuf Mem Zayin. If it's before Pesach and it's Nois and Tam Levgam, then it's bottle. The problem is if it's Nois and Tam Levgam on Pesach itself, so then we have a machlokes and Tuf Mem Zayin Yud between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Ramah says that Chometz for Pesach is not different than any other Isa. If it's Nois and Tam Levgam, it's Mutter. The Ramah paskins and Tuf Mem Zayin Yud that Nois and Tam Levgam, he says, is somewhere on a spectrum together with the Isur Mashal, that the slightest bit of chametz is also something it is. So what would seem to be, he's not learning that Nois and Tam Levgam is a negative tam, seem to be learning it's of no consequence. It can't add something significant to this tam. It's too insignificant. And therefore, so the Rambam says, well, Mashu was also insignificant, and yet on Pesach it's Osir. So the Nisan Tam Livgam is not worse than a Mashu. That's the basic approach of the Rambam. So, what Hayyitzim is it? So, according to Sephardish Jews, if you took out a chametz dika pan and you made the roast beef on Pesach, and it hasn't been used since before Pesach, you're fine. If you're an Ashkenazi Jew, it's Osir, and the Chofetz Chaim, I believe it's in the beginning in the introduction to Siman Tov Mem Beis, spells out that it's so not fine that you can't even keep it until after Pesach. You have to be served it, to burn it up, destroy it. So, that's the parameters of Nois and Tam Livgam. So usually, so that's what the Rav is. Why did you last use it? It's a milchik, a spoon, you put it into hot roast beef, you know, sauce of a hot roast beef. Okay, well, was it used within the last 24 hours? So if the answer is no, so Shalom Yisrael, the food is kosher, the spoon has now become, has fleishiks and milchiks in it, so the spoon has to be koshered, and life goes on, all is fine and well. Now, the problem with what I've just outlined to you is that in this generation, or this last generation, this has become well known. But everybody that goes to yeshiva could probably basically tell you what I've told you until now. And that's where the problem begins. When your knowledge is minimal and not thorough, you get yourself into a lot of trouble. Far be it better is the one that doesn't know in the first place, so they're not tempted to do the things they're not supposed to do. So where's the problem lie? Now we have a whole new category. Now we'll see what exactly is in this category as part of the problem. The Gemara talks about some min chiltis, whatever they may happen to be. And this was a double harif, it was very sharp. And so the Gemara tells us the following, that if you take a knife, and this is again only true of a knife, I'll show you other cases where it's not true. It's only true of a knife. If I take a knife and I cut a sharp thing with it, so the friction of the knife pushing through it and the sharpness of the flavor that's involved in it produce a dynamic effect that any tam which may emerge from this knife, and tam can emerge from this knife under these circumstances. First of all, the knife is cold. So this trumps the fact that the knife is cold. That's number one. Trash is that rule. Number two, it trashes the rule that if it was used more than 24 hours ago, it's insignificant. Yeah, this knife, it's true, I cut the cheese ravioli with it 2 nights ago. Now, it's undoubtedly milchik. It's not a maybe, I think it's milchik, and it's really, no, it's milchik. I cut hot cheese with it. So it's milchik. But it's more than 24 hours. Now I cut this sharp food with it. So number one, it's cold. Number two, it's more than 24 hours since it was used for the milchiks. And nevertheless, this sharp food is now rendered milchiks. It's milchiks. No different than if you cooked it in a pot with some milk. It's milchiks. So in the part of it, at least we understand, the Gemara says that the strongness of the sharpness of the taste is mechalel le shavach. It hypes the flavor which was dormant because it's there for more than 24 hours and turns it into something potent and positive. So now we have a problem. So I started off at an onion or a chiltis and I cut it with a cold milchik knife that hasn't been used for milchiks in days. And now I produced an onion which is milchik. Voila. No hot. After 24 hours. And I have a milchik onion. How much of the onion is milchik? So the Ramah writes, initially we should take off kedei netila, which means a good slice on each side of it. And or I'm sorry, I put this backwards. Lichat chila, I didn't mix the lichat. Lichat chila, the entire onion should be considered milachiks. And b'di'eved, we should only consider milachiks within kedei netila of the cut. So if I made one cut, and let's say I can make a good slice past that, so everything past that good slice would still remain parav, b'di'eved. But lichat chila, I can't use the onion at all. One of the things that I, you know, I've insisted upon with bashkichim that ask me, you know, in places that cook milachiks and fleishiks, like health-related facilities, I told them the klal gadol is all lemons and all onions which are cut, once they're cut, they don't go back in the refrigerator. Either you finish using them or you throw them in the garbage. Because the churban that you can make with them will cost far more than throwing out a half an onion. So here's problem number one. So problem number one is the necessity, and then we're going to come back and examine this yet, but the necessity of having a power of a knife. If you want to cut an onion and you want it to remain power of, so I'll use half the onion for the milachiks and half the onion for the fleishiks, so I need a power of a cutting board and a power of a knife. Otherwise, the knife is going to become milachiks or fleishiks. Now, what is the impact of this milachiks of fleishiks? Is this the Raisa or the Rabban? I believe it's the Rajba. There was Rajba and Chassam Sofer talking about it. I believe that I have it in proper order, that the Rajba holds that these are the Raisa. So, imagine, real boss of a chalav. There's not a drop of milk in sight. You know, I got a cheeseburger. I took, you know, cheese and I put it on a hamburger. Okay, there's real boss of a chalav. But here, I diced an onion up with a milachik and I threw it into a pot with a roast beef. And what's the roast beef? Bosar v'cholav minatar. It's unbelievable. But there are shittas, I believe the Chassam Sofer it is, that say it's the rabbanon, it's not the rice. But there clearly shittas among Gedolei HaPoskim that it is bosar v'cholav the rice. So that's a pretty nasty thing. So besides the fact that I have the question of violating the Isra Basar V'Cholav and eating it, but now let's just follow it down the chain. Now I have Ben Yomo Basar V'Cholav in the pot. Now I take that food back with the pot with hot food and I put it into other dishes. So now what happens now? So now I trafe the other dishes. Now, if it is a solid piece of food, so I may even trafe the silverware too. So the problem is that you can have a huge chain reaction from this, which keeps going. Because once it jumped across the line into the flesh of Kalim, then it's unrestricted where it goes. So it can start to become a pretty severe problem. And, you know, suppose, for example, you put it into a soup, a goulash, you put the onion, then you took a spoon and you stirred that goulash. So the spoon is real boss of a cholov. Now you mix something else with that spoon, another pot, so you have some more boss of a cholov. So it can becomes a very, very big problem. Now it doesn't stop at this point, that's part of the problem. This is bad enough already. Then along comes the Bogen Avram. And the Chofetz Chaim is Simen Tov Nun Aleph in Or HaChaim. And the Halochas of Hechsher Kalim, Hagolas Kalim. So there the Chofetz Chaim discusses this. So we have the following. I took my onion and I sliced it all up into thin slices. So basically there's nothing that's past Kedei Netila. I made small, thin slices, very thin slices out of it. So the whole onion is now milachiks. Now I wanted to chop it up some more, so I put it in the power of a food processor. And I ran the power of a food processor now. So what happens to the food processor? What happens to the blade of the food processor? So the Mogen Avraham says that the onion can infect. It's not only that the knife can infect the onion, but the onion can turn around now and bite the knife. So now, according to the Magen Aram, I just turned the blades and maybe the bowl of the food processor to milchiks. Now, I believe it's parv. So now I chop up an onion to put into the something fleishik, into the cholent. So what do I have? I have bosa v'cholof in the cholent. Because the knife is milchiks, now I chopped up a new onion, and even if it's eno ben yomo, because eno ben yomo is not an escape hatch here. It's more than 24 hours since I ran the milchik onion through this food processor. Put it away. A week later, I took it out and chopped up another onion and put it into a roast beef. It's bosa v'cholof. So this is a very insidious problem. Now, what I try to do when dealing with these shaylos is to find some circuit breakers where I can limit the damage. Now, you can limit the damage in different ways. And this issue of the Magen Avraham, and this issue of the Magen Avraham, there is a Chavas Das. From the receivers, the Chavas Das disagrees. And the Chavas Das says that although the knife can infect the onion can't turn around and bite the knife. We'll go, in general, the halacha presumes that it's easier for things to come out of kelim than be absorbed by kelim. So it says this is one of those cases where it goes from the knife to the onion, but if I put it in the food processor, it can't go from the onion back into the knife. So that's a possible circuit breaker to try to limit the problem that, you know, a person doesn't have the whole house possible cholof. B'shasat chak, the Chavas Das, to limit the problem, and I'll show you why I use that. We'll come to that soon. You know, you might want to be mitztarif. It's also not so simple. You know, we have in general the halacha as a kli rishon and a kli sheni. The odd thing is kli shlishi is not discussed in halacha. You don't find it in the Gemara. You find a kli rishon and a kli sheni. So why is Kli Shlishi not discussed? Either it's not discussed because it's not distinct from Kli Sheni, Rishon. Kli Sheni, this Kli Rishon, and everything else after that is the same. Or it's not discussed because there's no Bishul on a Kli Shlishi at all. Kli Sheni has some types of Bishul. Kli Shlishi has no Bishul, so it's beyond the pale of the discussion. How to take it? Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask the Prichodesh and the Chassam Sofer, they say it's not differentiated than Kli Sheni. And Chazanish is basically of that school of thought. That in principle, the Kli Shlishi is no different than the Kli Sheni. If it is different, it's only because it's a good likelihood it reached the point that it's less than Yatzal Edus at that point. But other than that, it wouldn't make a difference. And the Prima Kodim and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichronim Levracha, both said, no, Kli Shlishi is not in the discussion because Kli Shlishi has no Shaychus to Bishul. So this is an issue that, now, that's in terms of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi. Then we have another issue, which the Taz discusses in Yerodeya. It's an issue also of the Kadmoinim. That, why do we have this distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? So Tosu says, because when you pour something into a new vessel, so the walls of that vessel absorb some of the heat, and it starts pushing the heat downwards. So the shaila arises, let's say I don't have something where you have that dynamic. For example, you take a potato, right? And you take it out of the oven and you put it on your plate. Nothing much changed about that potato. There's an enormous amount of heat that's trapped inside. So if you cut it open, and you cut it in 5 million different ways, and you wait a while, so it'll cool down to some edible temperature. But just going from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni does not effectuate much of a difference in this case. So this is a clump of rice, for example, would be the same. A pile of rice, even though it's individual grains, but it comes in a clump that also has a din of a davar gush. Now, many achrayim say that this trumps all the rules of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi. If it's a item that comes in a clump, in a lump, as long as it's Yatzel Edus, but what is the din of Kli Rishon? So, but that is a Chumrah, and it's not, it's far from universal. It's a Chumrah that we keep L'chatchila, but it's far from universal. So it is one of the mechanisms we perhaps could use as a circuit breaker in a Shaila V'Dovah Harif. Now let me explain to you how this works. We don't really know exactly what's a Dovah Harif. Gemara talks about Chiltas. Shaila is maybe Chiltas is something which is super sharp. And you have in the world, you know, hot peppers that are of all different intensities. Some of them are super, super, super sharp. Of a totally different realm. There are some apparently that are, they're so sharp if you eat them they'll probably knock you out. That's so intense. Now, whatever the measurement of the heat that they throw off is, but that's how intense the flavor is. The hotness of the flavor. So the shaila is, so what is chiltis? Was chiltis some super hot thing? Or was an average sharp thing? So we ever saw, there are those that say that the chumrah of Dovah Harif only applies to Chiltis, and Chiltis was super hot. And everything else is not Chiltis. Just imagine the hottest pepper you can imagine, that's a Chiltis, according to them. But anything less than that is not a Dovah Harif. Because of that, so we're not 100% sure, we're far from 100% sure what is a Dovah Harif, but it's not a Dovah Harif. So the halacha is articulated in the following fashion, that if we have a second suffix other than what's a Dovah Harif to put together with suffix number one, so then we'll make them. And that's context. In other words, the tziruf, the combination of both of those factors. So I mentioned before, for example, we have the machlokes of the Magen Avraham and the Chavos Das. So we do have a basis to, you know, save us, ourselves from catastrophe in the kitchen, to be soymech on the Chavos Das. And that will go together with the fact that most things is a suffix if they're a Dovah Harif altogether. So based on that, at least for a Shasat Chak, we certainly could be soymech on the Chavos Das. Now, probably equally true, for certainly at least for a Shasat Chak, maybe more, we could be soymech that something which is only as a Din Kli Rishon, because it's a double gush, but other than that, it would have a din of Kli Shlishi, because it's already moved twice from the initial source in which it was cooked. So we certainly would be basis, because this is so as clear so far, our emotions are telling the truth, but this is only a chumrah. It's a chumrah that we observe, but it's a chumrah. So it's, it seems to be it's less than a 50-50. So this certainly would seem worthy of being with Surah being combined with the suffix of what's a Dovah Harif. So we start to appreciate, Rabbi Yisai, what the issues of Dovah Harif are, what they can affect. In other words, so first we have them starting off affecting the onion that we cut. Then they may affect the knife, which with I cut it with next, or a food processor. The, since it's fleishik, I put it into a milach kapara, we'll render that fleishik. And now we start, it's Ben Yomo flesh, because it didn't have Ben Yomo. So if there's no Shishim, so we can have a huge chain reaction. You know, you now serve this in your bowls, and you flesh your bowls, but it was cooked with a milach ganai, so you just trafed all of them up. And you can start to see the dimensions of where this problem can spot, becomes viral, as they say in today's language. So it's something which needs a great deal of attention that we don't get to this problem. Now, there are a number of allied issues. First of all, I mentioned earlier that this only applies in a situation where you cut something. It doesn't apply in a situation, a non-cutting situation. So therefore, suppose I have horseradish and I take a fleishig spoon. It's clearly fleishik. It was used in hot fleishiks today. And I take it and I dip it into the horseradish. And I take it right out of the horseradish. I don't leave it there. Once you leave it there with a double heart, it's all types of terrors. What happens next? But if I don't leave it there, I just put it in and take it out. So there is no dochka. There's no friction of a knife cutting through it. So it doesn't do anything. And if I had a piece of horseradish like you have on Pesach, you have to be very careful. What knife do you cut it with before you put it in the food processor? Now, a lot of times the most convenient knives in the kitchen on Erev Pesach are the fleishige knives. That's where most of the action is. But you have to remember, you're cutting the horseradish and you want to put it into a food processor or into a grater, so you have to make sure it's a powerful knife, not a fleishige knife. Otherwise, you're looking for trouble. Now, so that's number one. It only applies in a situation when there's dochkur sakina, when there's the friction of a knife. Yeah. Suppose I cooked an onion in a powerful pot. Now I took the onion and I chopped it up with a melechika knife. What's its status? And then I threw it into a roast beef. That's a good question.
Loses the
chopness when it's cooked. Oh, right. So the answer is, that's correct. The answer is that a cooked onion is not considered a dovah charif. I mean, you see that. You take a piece of raw onion, it rings the bells. A cooked onion, is mild. It can even turn sweet, certain types of onions. But it loses the sharpness of the cooking. So a cooked onion, so once I cooked it, so if I cooked it parav, and then I cut it with a melechika knife when it's cold, as long as the knife was clean, fully clean, well scrubbed, then the onion remains parav. Cut over the clean fleishige knife, it still remains parav. So that's step number one. So we have certain situations, at least, which are limited by bishul. That once you cooked it, an onion is a good example. A cooked onion is not a dovah charif. Now, what are the types of things that we would consider a dovah charif? So obviously, chiltis, whatever that might be, but we could speculate hot peppers would certainly be a dovah charif. Certainly, Spanish radishes are a dovah charif. A regular radish you could think about, but a Spanish radish is certainly a dovah charif. A lemon is considered a dovah charif. A lime is considered a dovah charif. A pickle would be considered a dovah charif. A garlic is a dovah charif. So we need to keep cheshbon of what's going on in the kitchen. Otherwise, disaster will strike. So at first, so that's the question of what is a dovah charif. Then we have two further considerations. I normally paskin, and it's apparently there's a machlekes achronim about this. What happens if I have a parva cutting board, an onion, and a fleishige knife, and I cut down through the onion? And I hit the board. What's the din? So the onion we said is flesh. That we established. How about the board? Well, according to the Mogen Avraham, what's the din? According to the Chavos Das, we know this. So according to the Mogen Avraham, it would seem it should be flesh. Now, you could quibble about that. That the Mogen Avraham only said it, for example, in the case that was like a food processor, that the second utensil which was used was a knife, which had its friction cutting the item. But something which doesn't have that friction, even though it's in the process which has friction, is unaffected by it.
What would make the cutting board fleishig? The knife or the onion?
The onion. You have dochka of the knife cutting through the board, the onion at the bottom, and the fleishig, as we say, is moving at that point.
You're pushing the
knife. I'm pushing the knife against the onion and against the board.
And you're pushing the onion into the board?
Yeah, you don't have to, against it. We're saying that Tom transfers. So, as the knife pushes against the board. The tam should be absorbed by the board. So apparently there is a machleikus achronim in the Darkei Tshuva. There is tumult about this case. But my normality is lahachma in this case. So you do have to be careful about this too. What cutting board is, not only the knife, but the cutting board itself should be some appropriate to the knife that you're using. So that's another issue which needs to be explored. Then we have an area of Dovah Harif, which is a very subtle area, very subtle. Till now I've talked about the fact that I took a fleishig knife, a milchig knife, and I cut up an onion, cut a lemon, a garlic. Now, let's say, it's not what I did. I took an onion and I put it into a fleishig pot, and I cooked it. There's nothing else in the pot except the onion. Peeled the onion with a power of a knife, sliced it up with a power of a knife, I put it into a pot, put some oil in there, and I cooked it up. Fried the onions. Now, let's just go back one step that we understand something. If I took a knife, a milchig knife or a fleishig knife, and I chopped up my onion, then I took that onion and I sauteed it. So now the onion is no longer harif. But too little, too late. Because it already became fleishik when I cut it up with the knife. So the fact that it's no longer harif, fleishik doesn't have to be harif. If I pour chicken soup on top of something which is hot, I don't need anything harif, it's fleishik. So the onion became fleishik. So now the fact that it's sauteed will not remove the fact its status, change or alter its status of being fleishik. It's fleishik. It's now a fleishik, a sauteed onion. Now let's say I saute an onion that I cook with the power of a knife. So what do we do now? Well, listen. This certainly we should seem a candidate for trouble. If dochkar sakina, which normally pushing something with a knife doesn't do anything, I take a tray for knife which is clean, and I cut up a steak with it. So that's it. The steak is kosher. Nothing happened. Now, if I took a hot treva knife, which is a ben yomo, and I cut up the steak, now I have troubles. It's quite clear that heat helps. Cutting by things which are not harif has no effect whatsoever, and cooking them in a pot has an effect. So it would seem that cooking, in fact, is a more effective means of transfer than dochkar sakina, than the friction of a knife. That's according to the cheshbon. So now if I put an onion into a pot, into a fleishig pot that I cooked it. So it would seem that, listen, the tam will come out of the pot, that we assume under all circumstances, the tam comes out of the pot. It will go into the onion. Well, if it went into the onion, it's b'chal yoleh l'shvach. That it removed whatever its deficiency was, its negativeness, and it's now considered something positive. So it would seem then that if I cooked an onion in this fashion, I sauteed an onion in a fleishig pot, and now I put it into a milchig dish, that it is, should be, treif. And I believe you can find any number of mechabrim that'll tell you this. It's quite a reasonable position. I personally have a different view. And I've heard indirectly that Dovid Feinstein agreed with me. Rav David Feinstein agreed with me. So I said the following. We said that a raw onion is a dovah harif. A cooked onion is not harif. When can the onion start giving tam? As it cooks. So to the extent that it cooks, it's not harif. So where's the harif? So when it's hot enough that it's starting to interact, whatever's hot enough to start to interact, it's cooked, it's cooking, it's cooked. So we should be able to say that as it cooks, each little spot that cooks, as it cooks, to the extent that it cooks, it removes its status of Dovah Charif. So maybe you'll say, well, listen, maybe it's not instantaneous, maybe it gets hot. You know, things take a while to cook, first they get hot. So maybe first as it gets hot, it's not really fully cooked. And Mamela, it's considered a Dovah Charif. Could be. But it's not 100% Mukhrach, which is, if that's true or not. Could argue that to the extent that it's considered Mavushal, as it's considered Mavushal, that's the point that it'll give off time. So to the extent that when it's not Mavushal, it won't really give off time. So there's some Sophic about it. So by a, since we said that most things are Sophic anyhow, that they're not Chiltus, so there's Mokum to be Makel to say that you don't apply the rule of Dovah Charif in this case.
And it'd be no different than cooking like a potato in a flesh expire.
What? And we're no different than cooking a potato, correct. So, this is a significant heta. It could save a lot of grief. It does save a lot of grief. So, there is, well, you know, I said, you'll no shortage of mechabim to the machmer in this din. But this yesh mokum lehokel. And hayyais, that any of the achronim say that it's a suffix, so at least as a tziruf, it's enough of a svar.
So that means the principle that Dukkha and Sakhina is not necessarily true. It's not only Dukkha and Sakhina that could.
Yeah, other machabram, and I'm not disagreeing. In other words, that you find, that's clear. You'll find no machabram that are right that through Bishul can also do the same thing. In other words, you would have, for example, let's say, but Leon is asking us the following. Let's forget about our onion case. Because an onion is rather unique in the regard that a raw onion is charif, is sharp, and a cooked onion isn't. Let's say I take a very spicy Mexican dish. Raw or cooked, you and I are not eating it. You know, the Mexicans will dig in. Oh, it's main oilam habo for them. And for me, it's Ma'en Gehenim. You know, I mean, the fire burns. You know, you can't get it out. So it depends, you know, each to his own. But so now, so even after it's cooked, there's no question that it's a Dovah Charif. So let's say you cooked something which after it's cooked is a Dovah Charif. I took a real hot Mexican peppers. And I cooked them in a fleishig pot, which is Eino B'nyoyim. What's the dip? So the chayra, that's muskam, that the din is that the peppers are fleshic. Onions, we can quibble about, because onions have a unique aspect to them, that a cooked onion is not charif. But a dish can be charif. There's no question about it. You taste it. These hot Mexican peppers, cooked or not cooked, they're fire. So there's no question that they're charif. So it would seem that this is that Enoch Hanami, it's not only the Dochka the Sakina, the heat of a pot, of a fire, L'chor is a Kal V'chaymer. As we pointed out before, by non-Charif, Dochka doesn't do it. Only heat does it. So heat would seem as a more effective mechanism. So this process that we call the process of Dovah Charif is not limited to Dochka the Sakina. It does apply to Bishul. If it applies to the Bishul of onions or not, that's where I quibble. And that's based on the fact that we have a suffix in the first place. So, but if you have tzirufim to that suffix, some measure, a degree of suffix beyond that, dayenu, that's enough to be makel in the shayla. So let's, I think we should summarize. We've covered a lot of ground along the way. Right, so we have, the starting point is that Dovah Charif trumps all the rules. Cold, it overrides, and overrides Eino B'nyoma. That's the starting point. Now, once that happens, so then we can get ourselves into altar. I cut an onion, a hot pepper, with a fleishig, and I could become fleishig. I should add one more din before the summary. What happens if I cut a knife, an onion with a fleishig knife, and then I put that onion into fish? Cook the fish for Shabbos with that onion in the pot. What's the din? It's only tam, chayra. Even though there is one place the shach seems to call it more than tam, but pashtus lachayra, it's only tam. So in the beginning of Simon Tzadikei and Yoredeya, we find both in the shach and the taz that let's say I did the following. I cooked the roast beef for Shabbos in a pot. I finished cooking the roast beef. I took it out. I washed out the pot, water, rinsed it clean. And now I put the gefilte fish into that pot, the white fish into that pot, and cooked it. So it's a ben yoma pot. It was used today for hot fleishiks. So what's the din? So both of them say the fish is mutter. That the tam, you need be'en, real meat, to aser, to make meat and fish. But if it's just tam, tam doesn't have that effect. It's a shaylevitz lechatchila, but the evit. In the source, there are certain mashmos that it's only b'di'evet. It's not meant to be done l'chatchila. Many are, in fact, make a l'chatchila, and they do it. But many, in fact, the mashmos and the sources would seem to indicate that it should not be done l'chatchila. At least, it's certainly clear that at least b'di'evet is mutter. That's a fact. So, m'meila, this onion that I cut up with this fleishig knife, sof kol sof, there's no b'en, there's only tam. All there is tam. Now, since there's only tam, and now I cooked it with, and that tam came from a kli in the first place, altogether. It didn't come from a piece of food. It came emerged from a kli. So the chayr is not worse than cooking the fish in a ben yomo fleishig pot, where it certainly, once I did it, it's certainly mutter. That's clear. So that's at least comforting to know that at this level, that it doesn't make a problem. It also would not make a problem, for example, if you ate such an onion, you wouldn't have to wait 6 hours afterwards. That's also the case. So we have now like this. So I cut up an onion, and the onion becomes fleishig. How much becomes fleishig? So the Ramos says, the whole onion, but do you have it enough to make a thick slice on each side of the cut? Now, if I took this onion and I put it into milachiks, that's my fleishig onion, I put it into a milachik corn soup. So there's a machlaikis, the Rashba, I believe, says that it's also a cholov deraisa. Real boss of a cholov. Be overly savasha gadi bechalavim, on the achila, on the bishul, on the achila. And according to the chasam sefer, it's midrabbonon, it's not deraisa. But also it is. Now, the question is now how that affects the varied kalim. So now that I have a fleishig onion in the milachig soup, so now I have a tray for pot. So now I put that soup into milachig kalim. I poured it straight from the pot into milachig kalim. So it's irikli rishon. So the kalim are now tray for kalim now. The spoon is already a machleikas achroinim. If you put a metal spoon on the klisheni, so there's a machleikas achroinim, the Ramah is mekel, or there's a machmer, whatever, it's a whole tumult, what to have a pask in that din. So, this is a means I could go viral in terms of all my dishes. I can wipe the whole set out. Now, beyond that, so, if I now took the dover charif, while it's still charif, I cut up the horseradish on Erev Pesach with a fleishig knife into smaller pieces. Now I put it into the power of a food processor. So the Mogen Avraham says that the blade of the food processor, and we said maybe even the pan itself, the bowl, they also become now fleishig. So now I have a fleishig blade in my food processor. Now I cut up an onion, believing it's parv, to put in milachiks. So now I have a bosel of onion in the milachiks now. or not, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it wasn't basil b'cholam. I cut it up with a parma knife, so I have a fleishiga onion in the milachiks now. So now having a fleishiga onion in them, right? The onion was, the blade became fleishiga from the first thing that I cut with a fleishiga knife. The second one I cut with a parma knife, and I grind it up with that blade. So that blade now puts tam into the new onion. So the new onion is now fleishiga. So now I took that fleishiga onion and I put it into a milachiga soup. So we start to see where this has the potential to make a lot of money for people in the business of selling kelim. They can make a lot of money off this halacha, a lot. So, and then there's the question of the cutting boards upon which we cut, what happens to them, and what is the status of onions which were cooked? Do they become temporarily the shvach in the cooking process or not? We don't say that a cooking process has the ability to render an onion into, as you work with it, as a dover harif. So that's one of the shaylos that we have. But if the item is actually a dover harif, we said, so then through bishul it certainly works. If it works through dochkar sakin, it certainly works through bishul. So this is a little bit, Rabbi, so I have an overview of the problems that you might have if you're not mindful about a dover harif. So Rabbi said, the simple you say this, we should go back to the way our grandmothers did it. When they cooked fleishiks, all the kelim were fleishiks. When they cooked par, the kelim were par. When they cooked milachiks, the kelim were milachik. And if we want to use, you know, sharp things on both sides of the kitchen, so then we should maybe be sure that we have par of cutting boards and par of knives, so we stay out of trouble. So this, I said, this is an area which has become more troublesome than it was 50 years ago. And that is the increase in knowledge has led many to make a fateful error in terms of not realizing the significance of the Dabba Chara. So Rabbi Yisai, we now are on summer break, and as is Hashem, we'll get back together again somewhere near the end of the summer.